lot more than they are.
Yeah, it is always unsurprising that the first game of the year is pretty terrible for college teams. Also, with the advent of less playing time for starters in the NFL, oh boy, week one, not always a snapshot of how things are going to go later in the season.
The Lions didn't play any of their offensive starters in the preseason. I had no idea.
No.
Goff didn't play. Maybe the running back played. None of the wide receivers that can play played. And it's like, wow, okay.
I know the Steelers starters weren't in for long, but they were in. Even the third game they were in, actually. And it is kind of
Atlanta. Atlanta was like, we're playing our second string, don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I kind of understand. Like, I don't mind them getting at least a first set of downs in the whole group, just because it is wild that I guess I thought the season was starting a week earlier. But no, there's still the, you know, I mean, this is essentially the fourth week of the preseason, and they just don't have a game, and they start them next week. So I'm like, yeah, kind of makes sense. Like, you still have like a week and a half until your next real game. Like, hopefully nothing happens. I mean, it made sense to not play them a lot, but to me, I guess that seems like a long time to leave your starters off the football field, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then, you know, Thursday, the Lions and Chiefs play. So, they have to give their minor league system a week of showcase, though. So that's what they usually do. That's what I've always thought, that was the reason why.
College
always starts before the pros.
Yeah.
So that they have like the 4-day weekend. They start today, tomorrow's games, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Since it's Labor Day. And I think Monday's actually a good one. Was it Florida State and LSU? Right?
I don't know. You definitely keep track of the college more than I do. Although I've definitely gotten pulled into this monkey business a little bit more with a Penn State fan in the house. So,
let's see. Yeah, I mean, around here, it's, you know, North Carolina, North Carolina State. You don't get a lot of Clemson, but there's still plenty. Let's see, Monday.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of dropped off a little bit there, even in the ACC.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Monday is Clemson, Duke. LSU, Florida State is Sunday night. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Clemson didn't have a bad year last year.
I think they
lost two games, and one was at the end to South Carolina, which is just what happens every once in a while around here. But it's like they didn't have a dominant team, because for the longest time, they were a one-loss team. They snuck their way back into the top 10, and they were calling out, like, if we win out, why shouldn't we be in the college football playoff? You know, okay, made more sense than Ohio State, of course, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, because they were, I don't know, it doesn't tell me. Oh, anyways. Yeah, but Clemson wasn't terrible. They just didn't have, you're so used to Clemson the last few years having all those giant impact players. And they just didn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm interested to see, I mean, this is year two post Kenny Pickett. I'm interested to see if the old Pitt Panthers can get a little better quarterback play this season after Keoghan Slovis pooped the bed last year.
It's always been amazing to me that Pat Narduzzi can't get a quality quarterback. Like, he had Kenny Pickett, that was it.
Yeah, I'm and I mean, there's definitely people that have come through the program. It's just like, man, I think they finally might be getting a little more consistently, at least solid at this point. It's taken a while though.
Yeah, that Pitt's a weird program to me because they're in the ACC, which they don't fit in, and they should be better. I mean, Clemson runs the ACC. I know Florida State's playing LSU. I know we were talking before. Florida State's not what they used to be, but they're ranked eighth. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I do think that they were in the playoff conversation until they lost sometime late last season, I felt like. Florida State.
No, they weren't that good last year.
Oh, okay.
No, it's why college rankings are stupid in the first five,
Oh,
6 weeks, you know?
yeah.
So,
Yeah.
at least I don't remember them being any that good. Yeah, they're playing this in Orlando. See, this, all right, and this is why I said North Carolina and South Carolina playing here in Charlotte is stupid. They call them showcase games. What are you talking about? Florida State plays in Florida. So you're going to make them play in I think it's the Citrus Bowl. One that's in Orlando, the one we saw at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, Citrus Bowl, if that's what its
Whatever it's
name
called
still
now,
is.
yeah. What are you doing? If like North Carolina, South Carolina, they're playing here in Charlotte. Well, they're on TV. Like Chapel Hill's 2 hours away. Columbia's 1 hour away. That's not a showcase game. A showcase game would be sending them out to Arizona. Hey, look at what they're playing out. Look what they're playing out east.
Yeah, got to keep the money in state, sir. Got to keep the money in
Okay.
state.
Okay, but you're losing money. If you're South Carolina, as bad as they are, they still sell that stadium out. And we both know college stadiums aren't small.
Oh,
So North
no.
Carolina, their football program's weird because of the basketball program, but they sell a lot of seats too. And on with those seats is parking. And then there's concessions. And then there's merchandise. All this stuff, which you're losing out on because it's here in Charlotte. It doesn't make any sense. As a business deal, it makes no sense unless you're getting a ton of money to cover all that. But then you're fucking your fans over who have bought a season ticket because you're losing a home game. So it's never made sense. Michigan was doing that garbage too. And it was like, no. South Carolina, North Carolina are not Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, any of that. They're just not. They don't need to be playing these games.
No.
Everyone knows who they're on. Michigan's chosen to be the first game on Peacock because we have the biggest alumni base in the country. The biggest living alumni base, I think it's something like that.
Okay.
Which is bizarre to think. Who the hell knows this? But,
Yeah, I'm not sure who's keeping track of that statistic. Glad I am not.
yeah. So, you don't need this crap. So, and by the way, real quick, we start talking about wrestling. If I had to hear any more bullshit about Notre Dame, oh, looks like they're back. They played Navy.
Oh my
Please,
gosh.
please stop this bullshit. If they could. And I'm dead serious. If the Marines had a football team, the Coast Guard had a football team, and Space Force had a football team, they put them on their schedule. They're garbage. They play no one.
Want them to play Starship Troopers.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
Johnny Rico running it out.
I could
Dez.
see Johnny Rico as a good passing and running quarterback.
He wasn't a quarterback. Dez was. Johnny Rico
No.
was the wide receiver, if I remember right.
Oh, did they
Dez.
actually? Oh God, I guess I forgot about that whole.
That's one of my favorite movies. No. So they had an in, they had basically an indoor football team. And
Yeah, do not remember that angle in Starship Troopers at all.
yes, because they were in Buenos Aires. And they were in high school there. Johnny Rico football. Oh, okay. Well, it resembles modern day American football and rugby, blah blah blah. It's called jump ball.
Jump. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you can't just have football however many years in the future that was supposed to be.
You know, I don't remember. But yeah, like, that movie's so misunderstood. It is so great. But whatever.
I think it's understood at this point.
I still, like, some people still see it as this, like, cheese, like, sci-fi movie. And I was like, in a way, it is. Because it's supposed to be. White people took over Buenos Aires. They were supposed to look like the way they looked. Like, everything was done for a reason. It went over everyone's head. And
I guess I've heard enough podcasts about it now that I feel like that should be out there.
Yeah, well, the people on the podcast know this, but, you know, I know podcasts, and we've been doing them forever. I know, like, some are popular, and a lot are popular, actually. But it's like, for as popular as they are, they don't get listened to by the vast majority of people.
Oh. You
know?
Yeah.
5,000 listeners. How many people are there in the world? So,
I mean, even if you're just talking the, you know, just the U.S. is kind of a base audience. I believe the last census was somewhere around 350 million people. Yeah, so even if you have, like, you know, like a million, I don't know, does anyone have a million listeners?
And I was going to bring up Joe Rogan.
Yeah, because I don't know what...
But there is a podcast for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes no sense. Like, how does anyone discover stuff? And...
Like, mine is through recommendations, I feel like, from the other podcasts. But then I guess I just feel like the way the job has been recently that I listen to less because I got to listen to work-related stuff more frequently at this juncture.
Yeah, I definitely listen to less. What's the one, what's the movie one with Paul Scheer?
How Did This Get Made?
Yeah, I haven't listened to that in ages.
That's one of the few ones that has made the cut for me. Like, there's maybe like a rotation of like a dozen podcasts that I can get to during the week, and that is one of the 12 that made the cut. There's so many on my Google app that are just sitting back there.
Yeah, like I never really listened to Joe Rogan unless it was like someone I wanted here that was on there. I listen to Mark. I used to listen to Mark Maron all the time. That one went to the wayside.
Oh, I mean, I was almost shocked to bring it in a wrestling direction. That they're like, Big E officially says that there's going to be no more New Day podcast. I'm like, guys, ever since they stopped doing it for like, I don't know, it was like a month or two. Like, it was out of sight, out of mind. Like, I loved that thing. But if you stop doing it for that length of time, I'm checked out. And it's at the back end of the list because it hasn't been listened to at all.
Yeah, when I saw that same tweet, I was like, oh, yeah, they used to do a podcast.
Yeah, and I think they even...
I did enjoy it.
Because I feel like they mentioned even in the article that I read that I think the last live one was 2021, and I'm just like, yeah, guys, that's like 2 years ago. Like, I really checked out. Like, I guess I didn't think it was still a thing. Every now and again, I think just because Google will show it in chronological order of when it's posted in the one feed area, that I saw it, but it was always like re-podcast, and I'm just like, okay, like it can stay at the back of my big list here. I saw that just often enough. It's just like, oh yeah, I guess I never expected this to come back. Like that's quite a hiatus.
It's like 2021. That was COVID, right? Or is that 2020? Maybe not.
20 into 21, yeah.
All right, so maybe that's why. I don't know. But what cracks me up is at least that show will have always given us the Usos being twins and Big E just being dumbfounded how stupid Xavier and Kofi are. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I
That
don't
that's one
know.
of the funniest goddamn things that's ever happened on there.
I'm not sure I remember, I guess.
The Usos are twins, and they were almost born on different days. And they're all talking, and Xavier goes, "Would you guys still be twins?" And you see
Oh.
Big E's whip his head across, like, "What?"
Yeah, okay.
He's like, "What are you talking about?" And it's just how flabbergasted Big E is by the end, because they won't relent. And he's like, "You guys went to school, right?" He's like, "You got a PhD, correct, sir?" And then the other famous bit is always going to be Big E talking about how he wants to fight Goldberg. And
Oh,
that's.
I thought you were going to go with the big meaty man
No,
slapping
that is
meat.
it. Yeah,
Oh, that's
yes.
all part of that. Okay.
He's like, "Some of you want your 5-star classics. Not me. I just want to slap some meat." Two big meaty men slapping meat. I always fall prey to a concept can be funny, and they'll give me a laugh. But when everybody else is losing their mind laughing, it just gets me even worse. And it just makes it that much funnier. That's one of the funniest bits they ever did. And the fact that it caught on the way it did.
Yeah, that one was brilliant.
Yeah, and it really just shows you Big E's personality too. So
It's no surprise that he's still out there. Getting some things done. 'Cause I mean, he
doesn't
spent
sound
a poop ton of time in Detroit for what was it there?
USFL.
USFL team.
Yeah. I was like, "What are you doing in Detroit?" Like, all right.
He did like a summer residency in Detroit.
Yeah. And then they had WWE Day, and Xavier and Kofi show up. Did you see him on for that Prank Wars show?
I suppose I saw it advertised.
Yeah, when Queens of Stone Age got rained out, we watched it in the hotel room. It was fine. Like, you're just watching. Oh, this is so implausible. But okay. But it sounds like his career's over too, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I would think that's one where it's he was not exactly a spring chicken to start with. Yeah, if you haven't been let back in, because and I think that's about when the podcast ended was when he around the time he got injured. And yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. Like that bump looked terrible.
Oh yeah, I mean it broke his neck, which is funny. He's got a tiny ass neck on him too.
Yeah, you would think anyone that could sustain that would be him with the fact that his neck is akin to a small tree trunk.
What's what they were saying? Like a lot of the wrestlers, they can take some of the head bumps, and not like break their necks or kill themselves because of the muscle. And it's not perfect, obviously, but it certainly helps. So it's like, oh boy, all right. So I'm hoping in this case, because somebody else, who was it? That was it, Lance Archer? Didn't he fall on his head that one time?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess it did mess his neck up, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, that was nasty. He was out for like 6 to 9 months, something like that. But it, obviously he came back, so that's good. But yeah, it seems a little it seems past time here for Big E to make a comeback, unless it's going to be one of those 7 years down the line.
Yeah.
Kind of situations.
Yeah, it's funny. You were talking about podcasts, like being outside, out of mind. When New Day came back, I had forgotten they were on Raw. Like, they didn't even say anything about New Day not being around. They just disappeared.
Oh.
You know, Kofi hurt his ankle for real.
Yep.
Xavier was off doing his stuff. And now I guess I can't tell if it's an angle or not, but apparently Xavier's hurt right now. I don't understand. I'm guessing Drew McIntyre was throwing the chair at, who's on the ground? Ivar, I think.
Oh, yes.
And, like.
Yeah, blasted. Xavier took that then, huh?
Yes, and it didn't look like he was ready for it. And, like, later back, Drew's like, hey, I didn't mean to do that. And Kofi goes, no, we know you're not that kind of person. I'm like, wait till you see that tape. There is no chance that wasn't on purpose.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, no, dude, that looked pretty intentional.
It really did. But I guess he was supposed to be throwing it at Ivar. I don't know if Ivar slipped or did miss the spot or what it was. Okay.
Oh, but that might have Woods out of action though, because he was not ready for it.
They're running an ankle injury on it, so I don't know if it's for real or not. But it's like, yeah, be kidding. Just came back to get hurt by that.
I mean, Xavier Woods has not had the best health luck.
Not lately, no.
That would be a rough turn of events if this is not a work.
Yeah, and it's always something stupid too. Like even he blew his knee out. It was just him. Was it just walking or running the ring, the ropes?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was something innocuous like that. Like, oh, all right. So, but yeah. So I'm hoping it's just an angle, but I've never seen a chair get thrown like that before. Calm down, Drew.
He threw it the same way at both, because didn't he throw both of the chairs that were at ringside?
Yes. The other one went in the ring, though.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I was like, good Lord. So, but it at the same time, I like that because it was real, but it looked real. You know?
Yeah, that looked a little too real for Xavier Woods.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen so much fake nonsense this week in wrestling that seeing something like that came off as very real was so refreshing. So, even if it was a botch, I guess.
Yeah, some of the roughest spots I feel like are botches.
That's always how it is. That's how everyone gets hurt. It's very rare where you just see, you know, very rare where people get hurt doing a move. It happens, obviously, but, you know, it's always just something stupid. Like, even, like, I know people getting pissed about Seth's Buckelbomb, but if you think about it, he throws him into it, and you can actually control when you come down with your arms. And if you don't, then you get screwed up. But
I don't think has there been renewed complaints about that, because I feel like ever since the one that went awry with Finn Balor there, that didn't he have a problem with Sting too?
Yeah, and broke like a bone and Sting's back. But by the way, seeing Sting do all the stuff he does now, it's not Seth's fault. I mean, the last time we saw Sting, before he came back, he was planting his face off of a table. That was his fault. So, yeah, I'm blaming Sting for this stuff. I'm blaming Sting for his own problems. But, and I know you guys probably talked about All Out.
You mean All In?
I don't fucking care.
Yes, All In. I have honestly, I have no idea who the fuck would buy All Out right now.
That is a disaster of a show. How, like, okay, they threw together All In. I got it right this time.
Yeah.
They threw together All In 2 weeks. Two, maybe 3 weeks. For the biggest wrestling show ever, which is not true. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, I love how they keep on going, and that's a shoot. Like, guys, you're not really convincing me right now.
Let's be... let's be fair about this, or unbiased. In your mind, what's the biggest wrestling show ever? I'm not talking attendance. I'm not talking matches. What's the biggest wrestling show ever?
It would have been hard to me for headlining moments to beat 30 there.
See, mine's WrestleMania 3. The first dome show for WWE. It had, and it was a different time, mind you. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It had the entire world at the time buzzing. It wasn't just here. And this is before the internet. This is before we had more than, you know, three VHF. Was it VHF?
UHF.
It was UHF and something else. You know, the 50s or the 10s, right? On the dial phone, on the dial TV.
Yeah.
You had everyone talking about it. It permeated pop culture all over the place because of who was involved. And it was the biggest wrestling crowd ever. Just whatever, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
Don't ask for parents about All In. They won't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just don't think anything's going to penetrate that deep at this juncture. You know, just because of the options out there, to me it's hard to get to that stage. Right. But yeah, I think that maybe that's at least playing a part in it.
It's
it feeling a little hollow.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also like, don't we get tired of WWE saying like we're the most tweeted show, or the most social media activated show, or here's our attendance, blah blah blah. And everyone cheers. Like, who gives a shit? Like, we're part of the crowd. So
pat yourself on the back. Go all Barry Horowitz.
I paid to be part of this. Okay. Cool. But, no, it just, this constant, like, Wednesday was obnoxious, dude. And I'm sure they're really proud of themselves. I mean, selling that many seats, hey, I mean, we even said there's no chance it was going to happen. They sold 81,000, supposedly.
Oh.
It's funny, though, seeing all the people bringing up pictures of the Silver Dome, and then the pictures of All In. And the Silver Dome was bigger than Wembley, I believe. So it was like, well, wait a second. Something's not adding up here. Because there was a lot more empty seats. I'm like, whatever. Don't care. I have no dog in this fight. If WWE wants to claim they're the biggest one, cool. But I just want people to be honest about it. Which... WWE, so I understand.
That's well, it's wrestling, so you gotta
exactly. Yeah.
You gotta work it, brother. So that's another reason why I just kind of side eye the whole thing. It's such a talking point that's exactly why I think that there's something wrong with it.
Well, the thing is, like, England is so starved for actual entertainment. That they'll go to anything. Like, most of these tickets were sold without a card. They just wanted to be part of it.
Well, and you know? I mean, that's the other huge thing, too. Like, they did that 70,000. I guess that's kind of more of just the way the culture is, to me, the event buying culture. I think I can even broaden it past wrestling to other stuff. where it's just like, hey guys, you've got to buy it first day or else you suck as a fan.
That's fair.
And it's just like, because what was it? They had 70K or something like that within the first couple of days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think like maybe 50 or 60. I mean, 70 is not that out of the realm. But yeah, no, it was something ridiculous. Like, oh wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, like they shot up, and then it just went, you know, like I remember it getting to 70 quite quickly, and then they only sold another 11,000 tickets after that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it to me, I guess that's the other part of it. Like, people always feel the need to buy those things because. What was it? It was kind of funny. Oh, Shahid showed a picture on Twitter of how many seats were left when he looked like the next day for WrestleMania seats. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, I guess I should have decided on this already. Like, the intention was definitely there to go to WrestleMania in Philadelphia, since I had not been to Philadelphia prior. And yeah, those chances of actually going to at least WrestleMania itself have significantly lowered. Just because, again, like, people buy tickets like that far in advance now. Like, it's wild. Like, I guess I remember some pre-sales and things like that, but it's
November. WrestleMania tickets were always in November.
Oh,
they moved it up significantly.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, so I'm guessing there's not a lot of good seats left.
No.
Yeah, wow.
They're the seats that are so good that they cost something akin to an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Well, then also, you know, you've got scalpers and. Blah, 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 whatever else. Like, that's one of my favorite things to see is, like, a venue will post, hey, here's the entrance protocol. Like, your bag has to be 5 inches, no flash photography, blah, blah. There's someone always in the comments, hey, got two extra, next comment, got two extra, next comment, got two extra. Like, you know, it's all the scalpers with their fake accounts trying to get rid of their seats now.
No.
So... And that's why, like, saying that 81,000 was a paid attendance is also kind of a misnomer as well, because scalpers can jump in and buy thousands of seats.
Uh-oh.
You know? And again, I'm not putting them down. It's just they did it to themselves by just beating us over the head Wednesday.
Oh, well.
It's just...
And it did, you know, the one thing that didn't help, and I know that Chris and I didn't talk about it, because I remember asking about it in the group chat. I'm not sure I posted about it on Twitter. Everyone that was at the event kept on talking about how loud it was. It just did not come over on sound to me.
One of those, any of those open air domes and stuff, they don't have it mic'd right. I mean, you've heard all the wrestlers say the sound just goes up. And they have to look around to see if anyone's actually reacting.
Well, and I sit there and say to myself, why can I hear a crowd at a soccer match there, but I can't hear wrestling fans?
Well, Kevin, I'm not sure if you're familiar with AEW's audio quality. it's never good. So, you know, and they only had months at a time to figure this out. For the four or five years they've been in existence, and they still have the same problems.
So, yeah, because but that crowd on Wednesday did not seem to care about that record either. That crowd was not good.
You could see them reacting to different stuff. Like, the main event is as awful as it was. They were reacting to it.
And That's still another in my long list of I don't get AEW booking 101. Why is it that the champion in their company has to keep on fighting to get to a pay-per-view to wrestle in a match to defend their championship while other people just get to be there already? Toni Storm gets a bye for her rematch into the All In women's match, but Hikaru Shida has to wrestle. This week, Orange Cassidy has to wrestle Penta. Meanwhile, Jon Moxley just gets to wrestle for shits and giggles to start the show. And whether he won or lost that match had no bearing on his status for a championship match.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Orange Cassidy wanted to face Jon Moxley. If you saw the press conference after All In, that's where this came from. So, Orange Cassidy said in the press conference afterwards, I wanted to have a match on All In, a singles match, because this is the international title and I'm not defending it. And Tony said, don't worry, we got someone for you on Wednesday. It's gonna be, and then Penta comes out and does all this stuff. And he goes, and the winner, you guys, is gonna fa will face Jon Moxley, because they both have issues with Jon Moxley.
Yeah, I guess that part of it
Okay.
sort of makes sense, but still, the championship shouldn't be up for play then if it's just to fight Jon Moxley.
Well, the other thing is, if you didn't see the press conference, you wouldn't know.
And
So what you explained is exactly correct.
one would also think that the fact that let's say Dynamite was thrown together this week because from all angles that I saw from reputable wrestling websites, it was shockingly thrown together.
Yeah, because people got sick, I guess.
Yeah, a couple of
They're
people
saying.
got sick, and one person got stranded. Kenny Omega got stranded because of travel.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yes,
Wait, how?
evidently, he was kind of near the hurricane that went through Florida,
Okay.
affected his intended path of travel. Then what is Swerve and someone else? I felt like was sick, which also threw off some of
Oh.
the intended programming.
How the hell is Swerve getting sick? He's in a coffin. That's. I
Yeah,
just.
well, he really should not be coming back from that kind of match like within 4 days, but whatever, it's
No one
wrestling.
should. I'm not exactly positive on AEW the way everybody else is being.
I don't know if everyone else is being positive.
Man, it. Go look at in like the wrestlers are always talking about how there's cannibalism or tribalism between the fan bases. And if Payback's not good Saturday, we'll talk about it. I'll be more than happy. That way you can at least see me freaking the fuck out after wasting $50. But I'm trying not to get upset. Because the second you start talking about All In, I was like, I don't want to do this.
Well, it
But
was kind of funny because Chris and I kind of talked about it in a general sense, but I don't feel like we got into any of the real details.
oh, good. So what I was saying though is like All In, like they have. Yes, that was me blowing you off.
Yeah, that's
They
fine.
have the Stadium Stampede match, which is dumb. The Stadium Stampede match is stupid, anyways. It was fine during COVID, when you could film it all over the place, you didn't have an audience, right?
Yep.
In Wembley, that's. You've got. Shoot, brother, 81,000 people watching TV. I mean, it's like you guys are stroking your own ego because you want to do all this dangerous stuff. Then they finally get in the ring. Cool. And again, like I said in our chat, I've never hated and loved a match at the same time like this. The ebbs and flows of that match drove me crazy. And then I just realized, no, it's because Orange Cassidy's awesome. And he
Yes.
saved it. He's the MVP of it. But that whole thing, putting his hand in glass, that was cool as shit. And it didn't work, so we had to do it again. And I'm like, all right, this is pretty smart. I can't believe the turnaround I've had on a wrestler like this. I could not stand him when AEW started. And then to the point where I thought last night on Dynamite he was going to lose to Penta. But they've been building up Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley for a couple months. Apparently, Tony Khan 2020. Sure.
Oof, I mean, I don't even know if you'd say the last couple of months, honestly. Like that's the other thing. Like they have so many feuds going on, I guess, that I lose track of them sometimes. Like I guess I kind of forgot that both Penta, I remember that Penta had a beef with them because they've been talking about Phoenix getting injured, Ray Phoenix getting injured.
Phoenix gets injured sneezing half the time now. He doesn't. He's a reckless as hell. So, I'm that train's left the station. Phoenix does cool stuff, no psychology whatsoever. And as much as I just got done praising Orange Cassidy, you already know what I hated about last night. That whole spot with the Canadian destroyers. He gave Penta one. Penta bounces off the ropes, gives Orange Cassidy one. Orange Cassidy bounces off the rope and gives Penta another one. And I'm like, this is stupid. It's everything is a transition move. Like, the Superman punch, at least they've shown Orange Cassidy's hand is hurting. So it won't have the same emphasis because psychologically he knows he's going to hurt himself, right? But it's just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing last night. It's like just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And like the Canadian Destroyer is a dead move. I mean, Adam Cole gave it to a referee, the same referee that wakes up and counts a pinfall. No, that referee should be dead. So,
Oh my God, I can't even believe the referees are now no selling the Canadian Destroyer.
well, Bryce Frensberg did miss AEW Dynamite due to injury. So,
If he counted three, I guess he gutted through the rest of that match.
yep, he sure did. You know, it's just what your main event needs.
A
False
super
finish that no one buys.
a super tough referee. Like I thought that's what you're gonna say.
I've
Like that's
never
always
even
the
believed that.
center point of the matchup for me, the referee.
I've just never hated a main event of a main show more than that. We've seen some bad ones. I'm tired of seeing the argument that, well, the crowd was into it. You know, if you lower your standards, you're gonna enjoy everything. That match was trash. I'm trying not to do this.
The funny thing is, I don't know if I'd call it trash, but their time limit draw match was better.
Yes. Because there's no fucking gimmicks. They just wrestled. And like my problem with this match is, all right, so they're supposed to be friends. All right. They showed no indication of anything earlier in the show, which I thought was curious. Like, oh, so they must be doing some weird stuff later. And all right, let me stick to the point. So you get to the match, they start wrestling, and all of a sudden, Adam Cole's the aggressor, smacking around MJF saying, I know we're friends, and I'm better than you. And it's like, what? Where's this coming from? Because you've shown none of this. And then they're going back and forth. Jordan, oh my God, I'm going to hurt his neck. Oh my God, I'm going to do this. Just fucking wrestle. You guys are supposed to be friends. All of a sudden, like, dude, if they put us in a wrestling match together, like, you guys just got to wrestle. Like, all right. Hey, man, we both know what we got to do in here. Yep. We go, and we're done. just sit there and like go, oh my god, I have to hit Kevin all the time.
Yeah, the crisis of faith that was had in that match was a little much.
And then we have one ref bump to start with. Unnecessary ref bump. And then, what happened after that? I've tried to blank most of this garbage out of my mind. But it was always one thing after another. And it's like, can we just wrestle? Like, I say it every time. AEW is TNA with a bigger budget and more patience from the audience. Because Jeff Jarrett's, oh, he is involved. Anyways.
Yeah, it's because TK is nominally in charge.
Yeah, that's a very good way of saying it. But like, the entire structure was shit. Like, oh my god. Well then, don't tear the turnbuckle pad off. You don't have to worry about it. You did. Well, okay. It's... And then you had the Roderick Strong stuff. Adam Cole has no problem with that. The whole fake hitting each other with chairs doesn't make any sense. It's so bad. And then that fast double pin, that was so groan-inducing. Because if anyone, it happens in every match, and it never gets counted. These guys can't count to 20. Was it 10 for them? Or is it 20? When someone's doing a count,
I forget.
You're outside the ring for 8 minutes, and they're at 4. So having like the referees do anything correctly is idiotic. Now all of a sudden they decide to do that? Stupid.
Yeah, that one just did not make a whole lot of sense to me.
And the whole begging for 5 more minutes. Why would it be 5 more minutes? It wasn't a time limit draw. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that seemed... It was just like... And I guess that was my problem with a lot of them. A lot of these events. Like, it just... Like, wrestling should... Obviously, it's a work, but it should feel natural. And a lot of stuff just felt unnatural.
Yes, all of it did. When they go out there, and Adam Cole finally getting in shape again, decides he's going to put a t-shirt on and wrestle. They put their cute little t-shirts on together. I'm like, this is dumb.
But they're brothers.
Sure.
They're brochachos. I'm going to start calling you bruv.
Fuck off.
This whole weekend, I'm just going to call you bruv.
No, you're not. I hate this match with passion. And it really did skew, and Chris pointed out correctly, it skewed my entire view of this entire pay-per-view. A pay-per-view that, quite frankly, had some good stuff on it. But this bogus nonsense trash of the main event just overwhelms all the good.
Well, I think all the bad overwhelmed all of the good is what my problem was.
But you can have bad on the undercard. You can't in the main event. They can't do a straight main event. And it's obnoxious. Like, and honestly, Roman Reigns' matches are getting to be the same way. That's why it was so fun when the Usos beat Roman and Solo. Because the same shenanigans were pulled off, but it didn't work. But then they went right back to the same shenanigans with Jimmy. Okay.
No.
But like, they're getting long in the tooth as well.
Roman continuing to find some way to win clean, but not clean, is quite impressive.
Yeah. So I just, this all in main event, I see people liking it, and I'm like, I don't understand you as a person.
Oh.
I don't understand you as like a professional wrestling fan to think this was good. It wasn't good. And
yeah,
like, we still got these belts, and we're like, was it Chris? host of When If Wrestling Becomes So Gay. And he's not
No,
wrong.
he just he is definitely wants to bring the hate back to wrestling. And yeah, I don't need brochachos wrestling each other in the main event of a major pay-per-view.
You remember that Hell in a Cell with Triple H and Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels is sitting there crying in the corner? I was like, what is this? And I remember Dusty rightfully just calling out, like, this is ridiculous. Like, you've been a wrestler. You've seen what these two can do. Why is it so painful to watch? Like,
Yeah, it should not have been that overwhelming.
the only sufficient way this match should have gone was either a straight wrestling match, because they established there was nothing going on, or the obvious, one of them turns on each other at the end.
Yeah, and I
Not all the nonsense they gave us, and then that absolutely, and I mean absolutely terrible ending. Holy God.
I guess the only thing I can say that was good about it is I was genuinely shocked that that was actually the pinfall because I didn't expect
Bullshit ending like that, yeah.
a small package out of the blue to be the ending after. I mean, we didn't even get 5 minutes. I guess I was expecting after they said that this, like, no, this is no time limit. And it felt like there was a time limit on it for a change in an AEW show that usually goes god awful long.
But yeah, so I loathe that match. I maybe I just don't like Happy Go Lucky Cole. Or yeah, I don't like it. So, and then like Matt Taven and the Kingdom were out on Wednesday, and it's like, oh my God. Bunch of grown men crying about losing friendships, or hey, you're friends with somebody else now? Like, yeah, I'm in my late 30s. Like, okay.
Yeah, if I hated everyone I didn't still talk to on a regular basis, I'd have a long list of people that I hate for no good reason. You left us because you're a good wrestler and we are not. Okay, guys. Like,
Yeah, Matt Taven, I got busted during my NXT or Florida Championship Wrestling tryout, stealing somebody's tanner, I think, or moisturizer. Some goofy ass story. And like Mike Bennett couldn't get his shit together when he was in WWE. Roderick proving why he's not in WWE. Great wrestler, but that's where it ends. So.
Yeah, his personality isn't completely terrible, but I've never really cared for him that much either, so it's just.
No, and like we just had a whole feud with like whatever. You know, Adam Cole turns on people. Why are you surprised?
Oh yeah. In a minimum, they shouldn't be this butthurt about the whole thing. And I still don't understand what I really don't. And my biggest problem is that I really don't understand Roderick's point of view currently. Adam Cole has done nothing actively bad to Roderick Strong in this situation.
He's hanging out with MJF, and they've never really established that he doesn't talk to Roderick anymore.
Well, yeah, and then I guess that's the other thing. Like, if they made it a point to say, hey, I haven't heard from you, yada yada, anything like that, or we never hang out anymore, okay, but he didn't even really make that argument this week.
You're friends with MJF? Like, unless this is some long con. Which is like the long con's over. The long con should have ended at All In. Even if it blew up on him, so that we could get like an evil babyface MJF. But no, just nothing. Roderick
Yeah.
goes to France and bangs some rats, and Cole, his nerdy ass, like, yep, that's my buddy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think of AEW right now.
Yeah. Not a chance in hell I'm buying All Out.
Oh God, no. Well, we'll be
And
coming up
honestly,
Sunday.
even whatever that is, the Antonio Inoki dream thing that they're getting in September, like if they throw that shit together like they threw together All In, it's just like, yeah, you guys can do that. I'll watch the fallout afterwards.
Yeah,
I'm
oh.
not wasting my money here, guys.
I'm never wasting my money on them again. Absolutely not. There's no chance. I'm never buying a pay-per-view from them again. Unless Jesus fights Santa Claus or, something astronomical appears on their pay-per-view, there's no chance of getting another one. Every one of them I've been let down, but nothing like this. I just, ugh. Christ.
Yep.
You guys are laughing how mad I was, but I was fuming. Because I don't like just wasted $50. Because I was looking forward because of what you pointed out, their TV match was really good.
Oh.
I expected more of the same. And instead, I got two grown men just going, oh, and then a small package in.
Yeah, it did not turn out well at all.
But people loved it. And I'm like, I guess I'm in the minority, but no.
Podcast as a whole is in the minority.
Yeah.
So, because none of us have come rushing to its defense
Hey,
in any way, shape, or form.
I enjoyed that Sting Darby Allin stuff. That match I thought was fun. I
Yeah.
honestly did. I liked that the Bucks and FTR was really good.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was okay. Like, that was another one where I guess because to me expectations are high with that combination, it was a bit of a letdown for me.
Yep. So that's my review of All In. Never again. Never getting my $50 for a pay-per-view again. I'm dead serious. There ain't no chance.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I honestly, especially since Chris and I covered it more than enough. When you don't have your main event that you kind of had lined up for All Out blow up in your face because CM Punk needed to get into another fight backstage. Oof. That
I
pay-per-view is
swear.
lacking already. It took an even bigger hit than it needed to.
I swear CM Punk was saying goodbye when he was in the ring. When he was going around like the each side of the ring, I swear he was saying goodbye. Like actually saying it.
Oh.
Like he knew, like I'm done with this bullshit. But I haven't gone back to watch because I don't want to dredge up those feelings again. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just haven't. I know that I didn't pay the greatest of attentions to maybe the first two or three matches. I'm like, oh, maybe I can get a chance to go back and watch this. And it's just like the whole thing left just such a bad taste in my mouth that, yeah, I was like, I just spent $50 for meh.
And that's the thing. Every pay-per-view I've gotten by them is meh. Every single one. Now, I know, like, Forbidden Door, Bryan Danielson couldn't help it. He broke his arm. But that was the one match I wanted to see. Another main event that under-delivered. And,
Oh.
I mean, this one at least had a good reason. He had a broken arm, for God's sake. So, yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah, still, like you said, I mean, nonetheless, it was understandable reason, but still, main event did not turn out.
And I know I ordered another one, and I don't even remember which one it was. That's how much I didn't care. From.
It's been a rough road for them. That's why I have enjoyed quite a bit NXT again this week.
You know, I watched NXT and I'm trying to figure out if anything stood out besides what we talked about real briefly last night.
Well, we did get the official return of the Creeds to kick things off. And I'm going to talk about it, and I know I at least saw some other people talk about it. I cannot say enough about Julius Creed. The man had an ankle lock in and then did a one-armed power bomb. What in the absolute fuck is that shit? That man is, oh boy. I'd just be shocked if he does not turn into greatness. Just shocked.
Yeah, he seems like a surefire, but had a lot of those.
Yeah, I guess we have had a few stars brine shine this bright early and end up fizzling out before time.
Yeah, that move was nuts. I was like, wait, what? So, yeah, what was I guess having being off for a week, like being at the beach, whatever, it kind of throws me off. So I've watched a lot of wrestling since I got back. So this week, what was Stax and Tony D meeting the Street Profits, right?
Yes, they did have that
Okay.
segment.
Yeah, I thought that was a fun segment.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how are they going to get out of two baby faces fighting each other and any other women break in? And I was like, oh, okay. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, I was like, the family versus the Street Profits, count me in. Like, sign me up for that match. I am there for it already. Yeah, 'cause this week there was a lot of the Global Heritage Invitational.
God, yes. Another tournament. Like, AEW does a tournament a day. And whatever happened to just starting a feud? Now I gotta go through all this rigmarole and
Gotta fill TV time, baby. That's what
Yeah,
happened.
I know.
Yeah,
You trying to tell me there are some more developmental guys back there? Don't want a shot, or gals, there seems to be plenty of. But
I mean, I was surprised that they brought back some bodies I was not expecting to be brought back. Not expecting Akira Tozawa to make a comeback.
yeah, and like that's always my thing is like you're taking Tozawa was a jobber and putting him in a tournament to okay. Like, why? Just like AEW, the champion has to fight the fights to make sure they have the title to fight their next challenger. They give them, like, well, here's a tournament for you. Like, I don't want another tournament. I don't
Well,
get, like, honestly.
Noam Dar isn't in the tournament, though.
No, that's true. But it's still another tournament to get to. Like, I don't really care about this Heritage Cup either, which doesn't help. I, like, Noam Dar and that metaphor is growing on me. Because how stupid it is.
Yes, I love how stupid it is.
And what's oh, Mensa, that's his name.
Main
Main
man
Man Mensa.
Mensa.
Yes. And just getting in, whose face did he get in? God damn, I can't remember. Was it Butch? No.
Yes.
It was Butch?
I think it was Butch.
Yeah, and it just left losing. No, it was
As Dragunov.
yeah, Dragunov. That's right. And it's like, well, that's a losing proposition. So now I want to see Mensa get destroyed. So, but, like, yeah, like NXT, there's so much going on. I know every week we miss something. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, we forgot to talk about that. Like, well, yeah, because, and their 2 hours was an hour and 40 minutes of actual screen time. They pack in 2 hours.
Yep. So, I mean, we've covered the beginning here of the show so far. Because yeah, the first match happened with the Creeds officially coming back, and then the Tony D stuff. Then yeah, Butch versus Dempsey was next on the list,
It's
and
so
then
funny
Drag.
they made Charlie Dempsey from the US. I was like,
Well,
what? I guess he's born here?
yeah, Vic did mention that he was born here but British by descent or something like that was the way he termed it.
Yeah. There was
'Cause
really
yeah, and
no.
then Dragunov came out for his speech after that. And then we had Von Wagner, just
Promising
the.
the table,
Yep.
Braun Breaker,
Yep.
but
I mean, it's good for what it is.
yeah, it's. I mean, the show's not. The show is stupid, but it's a charming stupid after a while. So you just let stuff go, and yeah, it just. I'm trying to think. What else was on the thing? Oh, the women's four-way. That was fine.
There was the tag match with Dana Brooke and Kalani Jordan taking on, which I do kind of hope. They looked good when I saw them a week or two ago, but Electra Lopez, Lola Vice, I'm here for them to be a somewhat permanent women's tag team.
Oh, they need tag team. Well, no, they don't have a tag team title for anymore. Forget about that. So,
Oh, did they retire it?
well, remember Isla Dawn and
Oh, yes.
Salvo
Yeah,
Firefly?
NXT does not have a separate
Right,
championship. Correct.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they might as well retire it. I never see that the new person. So,
Yeah, I forget who took over for Rousey and Baszler, honestly.
Piper
Like.
Niven and Chelsea Green.
Oh shit, yeah, that's right.
Because it was Sonya Deville first. I
Yeah.
just went, uh-oh.
Yep.
Blacked
That's
out myself.
yeah, that one's been kind of weird just because of the situation.
Well, it got Piper Niven back on TV, and I'm all for that because I like her. So, I'm like, all
Oh.
right, good.
Yep.
She came back in an impressive way. She said, I'm your tag team partner.
Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams backstage tension, but not tension yet.
Man, I don't want this. I don't think anyone wants to see these two breaking up and fighting. I really don't.
They are definitely hitting at it. That is for sure,
Yeah.
Z's.
Yeah, and it's like, no. If they have to go, okay, all right. If they're going to pull an all in and have a match between the two of them, hopefully they just go, hey, we got to fight. All right, we got to wrestle this. All right, cool. And we're going to be good no matter what happens after. All right, cool. And hopefully they won't be sitting there going, oh my God, I just hit my friend. I have a title belt in my hand. I don't know if I should hit him or not. Oh, I
Well,
need to do all
thank
the finishing
goodness
moves on a referee.
they're
Oh, he's not awake. Oh, what do I do? Garbage shit. That main event, I don't see how anyone could be happy with that. How that got by the agent in charge, the two people that are gonna wrestle the match, oh, and the boss? You think did you have any hands in that main event? Or your head in the main event at all? To actually go, you know what, this isn't good. And they're like, what? This is perfect. This is what everyone wants. Have you not seen the bloodline? Everything based on emotion.
Yeah, they are missing some key elements that are within the Bloodline storyline. So,
So hopefully
kind of like a
Carmelo and
coherent
Trick
story.
don't do the same thing. Because that'll be a gigantic, I don't want them to break up. If they wrestle, fine.
Oh,
But
right.
they're just such a good act together. But.
Yeah, so there's that Dijak versus Eddie Thorpe.
I don't get Eddie Thorpe at all. Sorry, I just don't. He's fine.
He's in that same category for me of Lyra Valkyria, although the latter has maybe started to show why everyone's putting a lot of stock in her. But Thorpe is in that earlier stages of Valkyria's run where I'm like, I don't get why she's a thing right now, guys. But then when you get the papal blessing from Rhea Ripley and then you have like three matches with her or whatever, that kind of helps out.
No, but Eddie Thorpe, I guess he was good on the indies, but he always lacked charisma, and it definitely shows through.
Oh.
So, and Dijak's just that still that weird Cobra, Marion Cabretti weird thing going on, which, okay, cool.
Yeah, I kind of cracked up at the telenovela that we had with Angel Garza and her Humberto Carrillo.
Yep. So stupid. I think we had the same dream. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, some of the backstage vignettes for the WWE as a whole have cracked me up, and this one cracked me up, maybe for the wrong reasons, but I was also just like, yeah, this really does kind of seem like Mexican soap opera kind of situation here, or really American soap opera too. So I was like, okay, I kind of get the angle that you're coming at with this thing.
But yeah, I. What else was on this? The other four matches I
Yeah,
wanted to.
then there's Nathan Frazer versus Joe Coffey.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Coffey ended up with the Duke in that one. We got the Chase U skit.
Thea Hale skipped to be a bad girl. That's so great.
Yeah, I'm like, man, they are really hitting all of the school themes with this with this group of people. And JC is the perfect person to corrupt someone like Thea.
Because they've established how young she is, and she's impressionable, and all that sort of stuff. So,
Yeah, and a very concerned Duke Hudson and Andre Chase is quite amusing. So, yeah, that one was fun. And oh yeah, we had a little interview with Tyler Bate. And then yeah, it was just the women's four-way main event there.
Oh, and then Carmella went into Shawn Michaels' office at the end,
Oh,
right?
yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, just it's just kind of a fine show. I still say this, they got to get out of that arena. It's just the crowd kills everything. But oh well, doesn't matter. They're not going to. So.
Oh,
Ugh.
yeah.
And then we had Dynamite on Wednesday. Cool. I don't care. Like,
I think we kind of covered enough of it already, honestly. Like it, you could tell that it was suffering from a jet lag because this schedule is just asinine. Two pay-per-views, a literal week apart is such a. I don't know
yeah,
why you
terrible
try to
idea.
do that. Like I just really don't. Like I don't know how you justify laying things out that way. Like three when the WWE ends up in a 3 week situation, it seems too crammed. So a week is obviously going to be too crammed. So, yeah, Dynamite was definitely these are the leftovers. This is who can make it. Okay, it happens with the WWE, even though they have been better about booking their travel than AEW has. I still feel like usually those shows after a Saudi Arabia show tend to feature some people that are not always featured frequently. So I don't really blame them for going that route, but also it's something of a B show. It just is what it is, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh man. So, do you want to just punch on out of here? I mean, I think Chris and I did talk about payback some, and the fact that we will all be live in attendance there.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Hopefully the show's good. It's one of those cards. They added some more.
Well,
It's weird. It's a weird show.
yeah, it's definitely a B pay-per-view.
Yeah, but I just on paper it looks like it could be really good.
Yeah, I
So.
thought that on Raw they did a really good job of, like, I felt more organized about Payback than I did about what happened at All In front of 81,000
Yeah.
people.
Yep, that's a shoot, brother.
That's a shoot, brother.
Stupid. That's
Oh
what you
man.
call it.
So yeah, I mean, there are two things. A, expectations are lower for Payback because it's Payback, you know? Like, we're not going to one of the WWE's main premium live events.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of excited for what we're getting, considering, you know, again, like, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. It's Payback. It's not Money in the Bank. It's not, well, even Survivor Series is not really what it used to be in my brain, mostly.
Survivor Series was a shit back in the day, and then it kind of wore off, you know, and that's when all of a sudden we get singles matches.
Expectations were a little bit lower, but because what I still have the card pulled up here, because Becky Lynch versus Trish should be a solid match and finally put a feud that had been drug out entirely too long out of its misery finally. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel should be a good match. Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory should be a good match. LA Knight versus The Miz, that one might
Let's
be the
rate this
most
one.
questionable one, but
Yeah.
LA Knight is undoubtedly over. So there's probably going to be a hot crowd for that. So that one will be fun. And then you got the rest of you got Seth freaking Rollins versus Shinsuke, which could be the main event, I would imagine. But it's also tied in, I think, with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn taking on the Judgment Day, because
A fair one,
Senior Money in the Bank it will be in the building. Did I miss something here? Did you mute your you muted yourself at the very end of the show, sir?
yep, sorry. Yeah,
Yeah, there is a solid chance that we could see Seth Rollins be dethroned, whether it's by Shinsuke because of the bad back, or Damian
Yeah.
Priest takes advantage of what Shinsuke has done.
Yeah, and I still think Finn should have beat him. I like this version of Nakamura quite a bit,
Yeah,
but
he.
it's so new that it seems, if he wins, it seems like forced. To where this character had been going for a few months like this,
Oh.
it'd be like, oh, this is inevitable. Seth is losing. You know, because this guy's buzzsawing straight through.
If they had presented this Nakamura for a longer time period, it would have been better.
Yes.
Agreed.
Back when he was doing all this stuff with Bronson Reed, if it would have just turned into this slowly, everyone's like, God damn, it's kind of scary now. You know?
Yeah, you could tell something was happening, but it happened at a bit of a glacial pace. So, we haven't really seen evil Shinsuke except for the last, what, month?
I'd say so, yeah. Ever since he beat up Seth Rollins. Well, not beat him up, but attacked him. Yeah. So.
I don't really expect Shinsuke to win. I do think that the whole Damian Priest, though, taking advantage and ending the pay-per-view that way has a higher than good chance, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, it could be something. If that does happen, I mean, it's kind of a big pay-per-view to be at for a cash-in.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty sweet. And even a cash-in
And
doesn't
get
mean he's
it,
gonna win.
cash in, payback, ha
Yeah, so what I was saying was, not doing this. Yeah, I would love to have some of my cash back if you want to complete it for the miserable ass main event I just sit through on Sunday. But I just lost my oh. But Damian Priest cashing in doesn't mean Finn Balor won't screw it up on accident.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Oof.
Because they are going after the tag ta they are going after the tag titles.
Yes.
So which that should be fun. But it just seems like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been going with going after Judgment Day a lot. So like this match doesn't seem fresh in any way, you know?
Oh yeah, this is another feud that much like Lynch and Stratus has kind of been on and off for the better part of like 3 to 4 months, and it's just like I don't want to see this anymore.
No, I'm hoping all of this is it ends all of them. Because, oh, I forget. Don't forget, JD McDonough's involved in this too. He could screw up either the tag match or he could screw up the cash-in.
Oh, or the yeah.
Because he's the one that said, you know what the problem is? We got to get rid of this. So he didn't necessarily say, you know, you got to win the title, but the briefcase is driving a wedge.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And
I think the
next
end
the
has been
title will
intriguing.
drive the wedge
Yeah.
instead.
But any time that there is a legitimate person holding the money in the bank, it always adds intrigue. So,
Oh.
and I think Damian Priest is legitimate.
Yeah, would be is shocked if he did not get some type of a run. And I don't know how many years going we've talked about how this is still the experimental time period for the WWE for champions. You know, when it's well after, well, it's after SummerSlam, and from now until, you know, Royal Rumble, you can have someone in there that is maybe a little bit inexperienced in the main event scene. There we go. That's a nice way of saying it. And let them get experience in that position and then have them lose. And then they have some type of feud at WrestleMania and they eventually get back to the championship if they stick well. But yeah, Damian Priest definitely seems ticketed for that. The man knows how to talk, the man knows how to wrestle, so I'd be kind of surprised unless he gets hit by the injury bug too much. He seemed to be in pretty good shape to step up to the main event at some point during his WWE tenure.
Find out Saturday what happens.
Yep. Okay, that is
We've never been there for a cash-in, have we? I'm always only on TV, right?
I'm trying to think if there was an immediate cash in, and I don't think there was when Money in the Bank was here in Columbus. I would have to look that up.
Unless it was the women, because the women one sometimes change hands on the shows. I was just curious. So, but yeah, a legitimate guy holding it works out pretty well. So, well, whenever you get to Pittsburgh, at least. So, I'll be there bright and early holding the fort down.
Oh man. Well, that will do it here, I guess, for Stunt Granny Audio Podcast 882. This is at DeFrango 11. That is at Granny Mae's. You can find us in Pittsburgh this weekend, should you want to. Bell Time beer of choice, since I will be drinking beers from Pennsylvania this weekend. Columbus Brewing Company Creeper Imperial IPA. It is a very delicious and very, very hoppy Imperial IPA that can be found all over the state of Ohio. Columbus Brewing Company is very, very good and has been very good since I moved down here. So give them a shot. You can download at Stunt Granny at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Bet again.